Finally, there are 40 days left before voters head to the polls to participate in an historic election. On the Republican side, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin could become the first female vice president. And for the Democrats, of course, there's Barack Obama, who could become the first African-American president. Last month, we began a series of conversations with the question, what if there's a black president of the United States? What would it mean to old stereotypes, expectations, and fears? We've been posing this question to influential thinkers, political figures, and artists. For our latest edition to this series, I am speaking with music impresario and political activist Carlton Douglas Ridenhour. You probably know him as Public Enemy's Chuck D.
Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power!
That was Fight the Power. The song was just named the best hip-hop song of all time by VH1. Chuck D, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Did you ever think to yourself, when you're honest with yourself, that you would see in your lifetime an African-American president, even one coming this close?
I had an idea that I would see a black president. And let me use the word black because you can use black all over the world. So, but he is truly African-American. Because his father's from Africa and his mother is from America. So maybe the term applies more to the Barack Obama than the norm, I should say. But I thought it was inevitable. I didn't know when. Now, whether it would work for all of the people and all of us, you know, I also had to be clear to say, although we have a black potential president, we have to also understand that this is just not about us.
Not about black people.
Us as black people.
Okay. No. But let's start there with what it means to you. Let's just start with you. What do you think it would mean to you?
Me as a person born in 1960, what it means to me, it means that it's a wake-up call as a black man in America based on his past record to make sure that I have my hard hat on, meaning that I have to really be prepared for anything. And there's no excuses no longer coming from black people to America saying that, you know, we don't have because the rest of America is going to say, hey, you know, your man is in there. We're perfect. This is a perfect society. It's true equality. When I know there's a lot of hypocrisy within. So it's pretty much a situation where we have to be prepared to be at our best.
But I'm not I guess I'm not clear on whether you think it has the potential to make African-Americans more complacent, to think that there or to make, is it African-Americans who would be more complacent, or you think other people who think there's no more left to be done?
Black people would be more complacent, and everybody else would just think that everything is cool and we can move on from the race issue in America. And I just think that's just not the case, because I think the people that think that everything is equal, they don't know the language of the people who wait on the bus stop and go to the laundromat. And I'm saying that's a step below the barbershop and the hair salon conversation. People that really have a hard way to go just to get a job, you know, usually black people have been at the bottom of the totem pole. Bottom of the totem pole to build businesses in America. Bottom of the totem pole to recognize that we are a collective, looked upon as a collective. So do we look upon ourselves as being a collective in order to exist and sustain ourselves here? Any whipping of mass distraction to make us feel complacent is not advised, I think. So I just think that we just have to be prepared and be ready just as much as he is. You know, Barack Obama looks like he's going to be doing three times the work of anybody else. So why should I feel any different? I should be doing three times the work as a black man, citizen living in America, just like I think this guy at the top is going to do. So I think that's the wake-up call we need to recognize. It's not time for us to sleep, because we have to realize as black people in this country that we are looked upon based on our characteristics as opposed to our character. And if that is the case, then we have to be kind of like, you know, super people in a way.
Your music is known for imagery. And as an artist, have you thought about what it might mean having an African-American family, a black family in the White House? Has that sparked anything for you?
Yeah, it sparked concern and interest, and at the same time some pride and joy. And I make no bones about it, there's only one race, the human race. And when it all comes down to it, we are human beings that need to take care of this planet a little bit better than we are. And I think Barack Obama brings some of that ideal to the table when he looks across and says, hey, you know, really straight up, you know, I'm a person here, you're a person, and let's try to work on this planet together because we only have it so much of a time. And so when you use and abuse this place, it's doubtful whether any of your policies will work if actually it destroys the place that you sit in.
As a person who performs around the world, travels widely, what effect do you think a Barack Obama as president would have internationally?
Number one, the rest of the world has seen that this country has detached itself from the rest of the planet. The election, I think, is the biggest reality show in the world right now. The biggest reality show in the world. The rest of the world, via television, radio, internet, web, people can watch a speech in its entirety on their own time, whether you're in, you know, Perth, Australia, whether you're in, you know, Nairobi, Kenya. And so you can actually micro-examine the words and the scene that's coming out of the United States, which they have. So the rest of the world is just waiting for the United States to get off of its high horse and join the world instead of arrogantly thinking it's a step above and begin to think about consolidating the best uses of this planet for all.
What if he loses?
Well, I will be having my hard hat on regardless. If he loses, then you actually know that this is a country that doesn't want to align itself with the rest of the planet and get better. I think it will be a situation where individualism will run rampant and sorry excuses like, oh, well, just do better by getting a job and then you'll do better. And that's how we'll get better, by just doing better. It takes more than that.
Do you think, he's only, a year younger than you, right?
I think he's at a right age to do it. I feel that he's strong enough and he has enough inner strength and outer strength, and he's young enough to actually handle the pressures of the job. It's doubtful that McCain, if he seriously does the job and rolls up his sleeves, that he'll be able to withstand the pressures of the job, you know, from 72 to 76, unless you do just like Reagan did, is just like kind of like coast along.
Finally, and I know you got to go, and you've been generous with your time, and we appreciate it. Do you have any rhymes or lyrics in the waiting?
I'm a songwriter, so I'm going to basically, you know, as far as being a songwriter, you know, you kind of like let the world come to you, and what comes out of you is based on what you see and what you hear. So I would tell you, surprises are yet to come. and what I haven't written yet, I've probably written before in one way or another. So I tell people I'm voting for Barack for all the right and the wrong reasons, and you can spell them both with a W.
Which are? Oh, I see. As in?
Figure it out. See, I'm a songwriter, so you have to figure out the pun.
Okay. Thank you.
So, which meant that you know, that didn't startle me. You know, he reaches me. Whether he'll reach people in, you know, Southern Colorado, you know, that's where, you know, he knows what he's going for. He's not stupid. So, obviously, he's got it figured out, and he's got to go for it, and he's got to put his best foot forward.
Chuck D joined us from Philadelphia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We leave you now with a little bit of another classic Public Enemy song, Rebel Without a Pause.
Yes, the rhythm, the rebel, without a pause, I'm lowering my level. The hard rhymer, where you never been, I'm in. You want styling, you know it's time again. D, the enemy, telling you to hear it. They praise the music, it's time to play the lyrics. Some say no to the album, the show.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.
Radio, suckers never play me. All the mix, they just okay me now. Known and grown, when the clock in my zone is known, sneaking